It's the IMAO podcast.
Starring Frank J.
Arr, I ought to run through with me cutlass.
Sarah K. That's me. She's too whiny. Harvey.
Interference is when George Bush invades another country and steals its oil.
Right wing duck.
I have decided to convert to the religion of peace.
Space monkey.
Seems kind of funny, queer, not funny, haha.
Cadet happy.
Mr. F.
Seems like I'm missing someone Jewish. Oh yeah, and Lawrence Simon.
I wish I wasn't so self-conscious. I hate being the center of attention.
After a long hiatus, welcome once again to the IMAO podcast.
Wait, I want to do the intro.
But it's traditional for me to do it.
But I want it.
Okay.
Yay, it's an IMAO podcast and it's going to be super fun and super great. And super funny. Yay!
Warning, this intro was recorded before the entire podcast was listened to. It could in fact be boring and tedious.
This podcast is brought to you by Puppy Shocks-A-Lot Dog Training Collar. Train your puppy through the power of electricity. Yeehaw!
Welcome to Fun Facts About the 50 States. I'm your host, Harvey, and week by week I'll be taking you on a tour around this great nation of ours, providing you with interesting, yet completely useless and probably untrue, information about each of the 50 states. This week it's time to use your hand for a map, because we're off to Michigan, so let's get started. Michigan became the 26th state on January 26, 1837, and was originally a penal colony for disloyal Canadians who refused to say A at the end of every sentence. If someone from Michigan flips you off, don't be offended. He's probably just trying to tell you to take I-75 to Mackinac City. Being surrounded by four of the five Great Lakes, Michigan has more bridges than any other state, most of which Ted Kennedy has driven off at one time or another. The Detroit Zoo does not keep any of its animals in cages because they all know better than to wander the streets of Detroit after dark. Industrialist Henry Ford was born in Dearborn, Michigan, and invented the assembly line to streamline the process of killing Union agitators. The world's largest crucifix is located in Indian River, Michigan. Requests from the National Endowment for the Arts to dip it in the world's largest jar of urine have so far been ignored. The Ambassador Bridge connecting Michigan to Canada was built in 1953 and has since been heavily mined to prevent more talentless hack actors like William Shatner from sneaking into our country. No matter where you stand in Michigan, you're less than 100 miles from one of the Great Lakes. If you're in Detroit, you're also less than 100 feet from the scene of a violent crime. I'll be back with more fun facts after this.
Gun's broken.
You just need to reload it, sweetie. I taught you how to do that.
Give me another gun that works.
Okay, here, this one's loaded.
Yay! 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 Yay!
Now, more fun facts about Michigan. Most snowblowers sold in Michigan are manufactured in Detroit and come with 10-year, 100,000-mile warranties. They usually expire due to mileage. The state flag of Michigan consists of a dark blue background over which is a lighter blue shield and the motto, "Cold like Wisconsin, but more recognizably hand-shaped." The name Michigan comes from the Chippewa Indian word, Mishigawa, meaning, "Half my pocket change is Canadian, eh?" Rock and roll legend Ted Nugent was born in Detroit, Michigan, but left the state in 1982 after he ran out of animals to kill there. Although the western shore of Michigan has many large sand dunes, it has no camels as they were hunted to extinction by Ted Nugent in 1981. Aviator Charles Lindbergh was born in Detroit, Michigan. His solo flight across the Atlantic in 1927 was the first recorded instance of an American being glad to arrive in France. In the 1950s and 60s, the prevalence of Detroit black singing groups created the style of music known as Motown. Since the advent of rap, it's been called Mofotown. The state reptile of Michigan is the painted turtle, or, as the natives refer to it, the crunchy speed bump. Well, that wraps up the Michigan edition of Fun Facts About the 50 States. Next week, we'll still be frighteningly vulnerable to Canadian moose attacks as we explore Minnesota. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go jam out to some funky mofo town grooves.
American Monkey! That's who I am! American Monkey! Now we're back to jam! Bill Clinton was on with Chris Wallace! He really showed his rear. Now, if you're like me, you have seen the video clip or maybe saw it on TV, the interview between Chris Wallace, Fox News, and ex-president Bill Clinton, and you were probably, like I was, pretty impressed with the way Bill Clinton really kept his cool and his calm and his composure and... he basically exploded like Michael Moore after a four-day buffet.
If the Democrats win in November, I'm gonna gripe a lot more.
Aww.
And I'm gonna be a lot angrier.
Mm.
And I'm probably not going to cook as much because I'm going to pretty much lose all will to live.
Yay, Taco Bell!
You shut up!
Well, it's happened already.
Ah, yes. Sniffing glue. The fount of all inspiration. Oh, hi. I'm Frank J., and this is World of Knowledge. And I'm your host, Frank. Oh, I just said that. Anyway, our topic today is oil. We all know oil is valuable, but why is it controlled almost solely by dirty Middle Easterners? To find out, let's look at where oil comes from. When things die, they go underground. We all know this from when we killed something in secret and let it lay in the forest to rot. When the carcasses are underground, eventually heat and pressure causes it to turn into kerogen and finally oil.
Monkey face!
Sorry, sweetie, I haven't seen it. So where was I? Oh, yes. So basically, while oil fuels our car, death fuels oil. And the reason there's so much oil in the Middle East is because they do nothing but kill each other over there. So how can America increase its oil supplies? Easy. All we need is more killing. I suggest killing squirrels. As far as I know, they do nothing for the ecosystem. I don't really see how they can. They just run around and grab acorns and... How's that do anything for anyone? So let's kill them. Next time you see a squirrel, smack it in the head with a hammer. Now, it takes a while for heat and pressure to turn organic matter into oil. At least days. So we better get to killing squirrels right now. And don't just kill them for the fun of killing. Kill them for your children's sake. I'm Frank J., and now you're just a little bit smarter.
Hello, everyone. This is your friend, Lawrence Simon, and it's time for another crappy bedtime story.
Hey, what happened to the Taco Bell's canon?
I got sick of it. The story this week is The Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Are you ready?
No, I want Taco Bell's canon.
I'm sick and tired of Taco Bell's canon. I was hearing it over and over. It got in my mind. Oh, and it's canon, not canon.
Well, I want it. So get rid of this goofy crap and put on that Taco Bell right now.
Sarah? Frying pan?
Oh, sure.
Thank you. Are you ready? Here we go. Once upon a time, a crazy Islamic dictator, busy spending petroleum profits on terrorism and commanding his scientists to develop nuclear weapons to wipe some country off of the map, needed to disguise his lunatic rhetoric in order to get into the United Nations General Assembly. So, he pretended to be peaceful, understanding, cooperative, and diplomatic. He did it just long enough for some morons in the State Department to grant him and his entourage visas to attend the September sessions. And it worked! European Union weenies told him they wanted to negotiate about the nuclear energy program he was working on. thinking he wouldn't ever dream of making nuclear weapons because he was so peaceful, understanding, cooperative, and diplomatic. When his plane landed in his capital city, back home, his fellow crazy Islamic advisors and minions surrounded him with swords and guns. "What is the meaning of this?" he said. "You are peaceful, understanding, cooperative, and diplomatic," said the crowd. "You have obviously been corrupted by your trip among the Western Zionist collaborators." And they shot him, and chopped his head off, and tore out his entrails, and set them on fire.
Whoa, this is the end of my mood. I'm in a jab. I'm in a jab.
The end. And that's this week's crappy bedtime story from your friend, Lawrence Simon. Now go to bed! No, I can't get this stupid music out of my freaking head.
Reviews pay the rent with Sarah Kay. A Foxy Clark Kent is my topic today. Yeehaw! Hi, I'm Sarah Kay, and today I want to talk to you about the TV show Smallville. The show premiered its sixth season on Thursday, and it was a great season premiere. It was exciting and action-packed, and it had some hokey parts, and there was lots of killing, and it had lots of that hot guy that plays Clark Kent, Tom Welling.
He's just another gay Superman to me.
Oh, no, you didn't. Don't worry, ladies. I will give him a very stern talking to. Anyway, also, the season premiere didn't have too much Lana Lang. Thank goodness. Can't stand her. What a whiner. Also, the season premiere introduced a couple of new characters, some of whom aren't dead yet. Now, let me tell you how I got into Smallville. Frank used to watch it a long time ago before I met him and he stopped having time for all other things but me. And we got it on DVD this summer, all five seasons, because our relationship dissolves if we don't have TV to watch, and the TV shows were in hiatus. So we watched all five seasons over the summer instead of producing podcasts for you guys, which is understandable because obviously watching Smallville is way more fun than doing this for you guys. Now, I know three things about Smallville. Number one, I can't stand Lana Lang. Was really hoping Zod was going to do away with her, but he didn't. Worthless Zod, thanks a lot for that. Oh, sorry if you haven't seen the season premiere yet and didn't, sorry. Oh, I thought it was incredibly rich that Lana told Lionel and Martha, "I'm the only one that's going to be able to get close enough to kill Zod with the dagger because he wants me to be his Earth wife." Yeah, okay. She forgets her mad kung fu skills every time she gets into Clark Save Me mode. Lana, why don't you do what you do best and just be a good little damsel in distress? Hey, that rhymed. The second thing I know is that I want Clark to have a girl. I want him to be with either Chloe or Lois, and I don't know which, because I love them both. And Chloe was such a moron in the season opener. He was like, "Chloe, remember when we kissed last season?" And she's like, "Oh, don't worry, I don't want to hook up with you." And he's like, got this look on his face like, "Well, I do." And she goes off with Jimmy Olsen. Okay, who's going to pick that little twerp over Foxy Tom? Nobody on Earth or Krypton. So she lost a lot of points from me because I used to think she was really, really smart, even though she seems a little bit liberal. But now I think she's maybe not all there. So I might have to go with Lois as my number one choice for Clark, even though every time they have her in the show, she's always with Martha Kent. Ugh. Poor Martha Kent. That one, she's got to get away from Lionel quickly. He's evil again. And the third thing I know is that Lana and Lex deserve each other because Lana is an evil, fickle whore and Lex is Lex Luthor. And it's totally fine with me if they end up together. Clark can just get over her and move on because she's too whiny. And I hate her. And I hope she dies. Lana Lang is an evil whiny whore, and I hope she dies in the next episode. Yeah.
A lot of people are now asking me,
"Hey Frank Joy, if the Democrats take over Congress, what'll that mean for me?"
Well, I'll tell you what it means. As we all know, the Democrats will surrender to the terrorists. They'll probably offer them one of our states to try and appease them. I'm guessing Wisconsin. Also, they'll most likely declare that monkeys are political prisoners and release them from zoos. As we all know, monkeys bite, which means you'll need antibiotics. But what you're probably really wondering about is how will a Democratic Congress affect corn crops? Frankly, I don't think it'll do them any good. So my advice for you is if you live in Wisconsin to move, make sure to stock up on antibiotics and sell your corn futures. I hope that helps.
Well, that's it for our all-exciting return to podcasting. Now get off our backs! Oh, and please visit our Cafe Press store at cafepress.com/IMAO. And don't forget to look at our brand new designs. If we give in to the terrorists, then the Democrats will have won. And no problem is so complex that it can't be solved by proper firearm usage. And as always, you can buy top quality IMAO t-shirts at thoseshirts.com. And remember,
be on the run, running.
Now go to bed! No more talky talk. Yeehaw.
Hey, what happened to the Pachelbel's cannon?
Pockle. You have to put the L in there. Pachelbel.
Pachelbel. Pachelbel. Hey, what happened to the Taco Bell's cannon?
Maybe I should be correcting you when you're... Maybe I should...
I don't know how this fits in there.